Okay, let's dive into this. Imagine this scene. A B-52 tail gunner. His bomber's just gone down south of the base.
Right. High-stress situation.
Totally. He bails out, his chute deploys, and he somehow lands to get this right smack on the highway near the base.
On the highway. Wow.
Yeah. Then he just gathers his chute and walks up to the main gate of this top-secret base. Security stops him, asks for ID.
Standard procedure, even then.
And his response.
Yeah.
After some... let's call it very strong language, we'll definitely have to beep out, was basically, I really need a drink.
Just like that, after crashing.
Just like that. It's almost funny, isn't it? This completely normal human reaction right in the middle of a war zone.
It's that contrast, isn't it? The absolute extreme of bailing out of a burning plane, and then this mundane request really makes you think about how people cope.
Exactly. And that story, which is just incredible, comes from SGT Randolph Nagy. It's from his interview in episode 54 of the YouTube channel Military Tales, and it's our jumping off point for this deep dive.
Right. We're looking at his time at Nakhon Phenom Royal Thai Air Force Base, NKP, in Thailand. This was 72, 73.
And he saw a lot. Security, police, perimeter guard. He was even a mortar gunner at one point.
And the timing is key here. SGT Nagy was there during Linebacker 2.
Ah, yeah, the big bombing campaign late in the war.
Precisely. So that B-52 incident he talks about in the interview, that's happening right in the thick of Linebacker 2 operations. So our plan is really to unpack his memories, his perspective from that time at NKP, based on what he shared in that specific episode.
Okay, so let's really get into that B-52 story Nagy tells. He remembers it vividly. The crash south of the base during Linebacker 2.
And the whole crew had to get out.
The whole crew bailed. But it's the tail gunner landing. I mean, the odds, landing right on the highway between NKP town and the base itself.
What really stands out about that part for you, landing right there?
Just how improbable it feels, you know? Mm-hmm. Giant plane down, crew scattering in chutes, and one guy just happens to plop down on this narrow strip of road. Statistically, it feels wild.
It really does highlight the chaos of it all, ejecting from an aircraft, especially back then. Where you end up is down to wind, altitude, sheer luck. Landing on a highway near the base is, yeah, pretty remarkable, just as SGT Nagy described it.
And then that whole scene at the gate. Mm-hmm. I think you remember the SPs asking for ID and the gunner's really blunt response about needing that drink. We have to censor the actual words he apparently used, but...
Wow.
The sheer nerve, or maybe shock, after everything he just went through.
Yeah, you wonder what's going on in his head right then. Shock, absolutely. Maybe just laser-focused on one simple human thing after surviving, you know.
So.
Cutting through the military red tape with just raw need.
And Nagy was clear in the interview. This wasn't just some story floating around. It was real. It was documented. Mm-hmm. He even ties it into his own experience later on. He became an egress tech, you know, the guys who work on ejection seats and escape systems.
Ah, okay. So he knew the mechanics of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He explained that on those B-52Ds, the tail gunner didn't have an ejection seat like the others. It was a manual bailout from the greenhouse, this compartment in the tail. You had to manually open a hatch and get yourself out.
Wow. Okay. That adds a whole other layer, not just pulling a handle.
No, it sounds like a pretty intense physical process, probably while the plane's in serious trouble.
So managing that, landing safely, and then having the composure, or whatever it was, to walk to the gate, that says something.
Right. Okay, so moving away from that wild start, let's talk about Nagy's first impressions of NKP itself. He mentions in the interview stopping at Clark Air Base first in the Philippines.
Right, a common transit point.
But it was landing at NKP the moment those C-141 clamshell doors opened. He just describes this incredible wave of heat and humidity hitting him, like nothing he'd experienced.
Yeah, those sensory details really put you there, don't they? That feeling SGT Nagy described, that constant oppressive climate. Mm. It would have colored everything about being stationed there.
And then the sign. He sees this sign at the passenger terminal. Welcome to NKP, the end of the world. Ha ha.
Right, subtle.
Yeah, talk about setting expectations. It definitely gives you the sense of a place that felt remote, maybe a bit rough, maybe even dangerous to the guys stationed there.
Well, it's that classic military humor, isn't it? Gallows humor, a way to cope with being somewhere tough or isolated, sort of an instant bonding thing. We're all stuck here together at the end of the world.
SGT. Nagy also talked about security issues and the black market. He said there was quite a bit of it around NKP. Locals trying to get through the fences, looking for stuff to trade or sell.
Mm-hmm. That kind of thing often springs up around big bases, especially where there's a big economic difference between what's inside the wire and outside. The base is just full of comparatively valuable goods.
He told one specific story. Pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
A law enforcement guy, an American SP, confronted a local who was trying to break into the supply warehouses. According to Nagy, the local apparently had a weapon. Shots were fired. And the next day, the American SP was just gone, shipped out.
Really? Just like that?
Yeah. Nagy's understanding, or what he was told, was basically they didn't like the Americans shooting the Thais or shooting at them.
Yeah.
It suggests a really delicate situation. Like, there were lines you didn't cross with the locals, even when enforcing security.
That incident, the way SGT Nagy remembered it, really speaks volumes about the complex relationship. You know, the U.S. presence brings money, jobs maybe, but also friction. Using lethal force, even in that situation, was clearly a sensitive point. Removing the SP, that quickly suggests a strong desire to keep things calm, avoid bigger problems with the host nation.
Nagy also talked about seeing the war directly. He said he'd go into town sometimes hit by the Mekong River.
Right, the river was the border with Laos there.
Exactly. And he'd watch U.S. fighter jets hitting the town of Ta Kek right across the river,
right,
dropping napalm, bombs. He was told Ta Kek was full of NBA regulars.
Wow. So the war wasn't distant for them at all. It was literally visible across the water. That image Nagy paints, watching airstrikes from the riverbank, it makes it so immediate. The Mekong as this stark dividing line between the base's relative safety and active combat.
He also described the nights looking towards Laos, gunships lighting up the sky. He called it a rain of fire.
Heavy stuff.
Yeah. He admitted, you know, visually it was spectacular, but obviously in a terrifying, destructive way. He said those images really stuck with him, you could tell in the interview.
That's a really common, unsettling thing you hear about modern warfare viewed from a slight distance. That strange mix of visual awe and the knowledge of horrific destruction. Those nightly displays would have been a constant, grim reminder of what was happening just miles away.
Okay, so fast forward decades later, SGT Nagy actually went back to NKP with his wife. He talks about this in the interview, too.
Oh, interesting. What did he find?
Huge changes. He said the jungle had basically swallowed up large parts of the old base. You could barely even see the control tower through the growth.
Nature taking back over.
Totally. But amazingly, the runway. The original runway is still there, still in use. It's a part of a functioning airport now with like 4 flights a day.
That's quite something. The infrastructure lasting, even as nature reclaims other parts, shows the scale of the original construction.
And the town itself. He remembered it as this little podunk town.
Right.
He goes back and it's this clean, modern city, 40,000 people. He mentioned this immaculate 5-star hotel right on the Mekong. Housing developments. Just completely different from the place he remembered.
That kind of growth isn't totally surprising, I suppose. Sometimes the economic engine of a former base, even after it closes or shrinks, can kickstart longer-term development. And that focus on cleanliness he mentioned, that often signals a real shift in local priorities and prosperity.
But some things were still there. Remnants, he said the old Ho Chi Minh clock still existed.
A landmark from the era, huh?
Yeah, and a nice riverfront walkway now with a big Naga statue. You know, the mythical serpent thing?
Mm-hmm, common symbol in that region.
But he remembered looking at the river and thinking, this used to be the line, the edge of the war.
So those landmarks kind of bridge the gap, don't they? The clock connects to the specific history SGT, Nagy lived through. The Naga connects to the deeper local culture, all existing in this transformed landscape.
And why did he go back?
Yeah.
He said in the interview, pretty directly, it was to confront things, to bury some of the bad memories he carried from his time there.
That makes sense. A pilgrimage almost.
Yeah. And he said it worked. He found a sense of closure. He actually really recommended that other vets consider going back if they could. He kept emphasizing how beautiful and peaceful the area is now.
That's powerful. It really highlights how long the psychological echoes of war can last. Revisiting a place as SGT Nagy did, seeing it changed, peaceful. It can help recontextualize those traumatic memories. That contrast between the NKP he knew and the city he found must have been profound for achieving that closure.
The interviewer also asked him, you know, would you recommend military service today?
Huh. Always an interesting question for veterans. What did he say?
A definite yes. His reason was basically structure. He felt it gives young people who feel a bit lost and aimless a path, a purpose.
Mm-hmm. That's a common perspective, the discipline, the framework.
He did add a little caveat, though. He observed that maybe things aren't quite as firm now. Like, adherence to rules felt a bit different compared to his time. just an observation.
Yeah, you hear that sometimes. Reflects maybe broader shifts in society, different approaches to leadership and rules across generations. But his core point was about the value of that structure.
And then finally, he circles right back to that tail gunner story in the interview.
The story that started it all.
Exactly. He knows some people find it hard to swallow, but he's absolutely certain it happened. He was there.
How close was he?
He said he was up in a tower maybe 700, 800 meters away when the B-52 went down, heard the crash, felt the ground shake. He wasn't right at the gate, but he experienced the event itself.
Okay, so he had that direct sensory input of the crash happening nearby. That adds weight to his certainty about the aftermath he described.
And he confirmed, by the way, that all the crew members survived both crashes they had during that period.
That's good to know, despite the drama.
Yeah. But yeah, he still just seemed amazed by it. That contrast, you know, the horrific situation of the crash and then the gunner's unbelievably casual, slightly profane request, "I'm going to get a drink."
It's unforgettable, isn't it,
yeah,
that reaction? Maybe it's shock. Maybe it's resilience. Maybe it's just focusing on the simplest next step after surviving the unsurvivable. It's a really striking picture of human behavior under extreme duress.
So wrapping up our deep dive here, drawing on SGT Nagy's account from that Military Tales, episode 54, we've covered quite a bit, that truly extraordinary B-52 tail gunner incident.
Mm-hmm. The harsh realities of life at NKP during the war.
Yeah, the security stuff, seeing the bombing,
yeah,
and then that incredible transformation of the place decades later.
And like we said at the start, that tail gunner story, his almost surreal request for a drink as SGT Nagy remembered it, it really sticks with you. A potent example of how people react in ways you just can't predict when pushed to the absolute limit.
Which kind of leaves you, the listener, with this thought. How do people cope when faced with something completely off the charts? And what kind of mark does a conflict leave on a place and on the people who live through it there? Thinking about SGT, Nagy's NKP, the wartime base versus the peaceful city he visited later, really gives you something to chew on.